This curse meant that Fatehpur Sikri dried up in 2 weeks. Staying here was impossible. People would starve and die of thirst. Hello guys, and welcome to the 4th episode of Giggly Magazine podcast. Hi, I'm Shanaya Wagh, your host for this week, and we are today going to talk about a tale that's taken place in Fatehpur Sikri. Fatehpur Sikri is a city, a planned city, located between Agra, Delhi and Agra, and it's a famous tourist destination today. People from all across the world visit it, chiefly because it is a beautiful city in red sandstone, and it has just one structure which is made up of marble. And Fatehpur Sikri is shrouded in tales and legends. And this week I'll be telling you, narrating these tales to you, because they are very fascinating. What is Fatehpur Sikri? Fatehpur Sikri was supposedly the first planned city built by a Mughal emperor whose name was Akbar. He built the city around Salim Chisti's residence. The story goes that Akbar longed to have a son and an heir. And in the Mughal times, having a son was very important, because if you didn't have a son who was basically your heir, your kingdom would fall in a mess. So to avoid this, he really wanted a son, and he travelled on foot to this place and asked Salim Chisti for a son. And Salim Chisti prophesied that he will indeed have a son. And Emperor Akbar went on to have three sons, meaning that he had two to spare. And he called his eldest son Salim, after Sheikh Salim Chisti. And he was so happy that this had happened that he decided to build a proper city in and around the residence of Salim Chisti. But wait, does that mean Salim Chisti lived in the middle of nowhere, that there was nothing around his residence? That isn't true. In fact, this place which Salim Chisti stayed has been mentioned in the Mahabharata some centuries before. It's called as Saikh, S-A-I-K-H. Saikh meaning that it was a place with abundant water supply. In the 11th century, around 1010 AD, it was also called Sikriya, which also means a lot of abundance of water that people had who stayed there. And then Akbar's grandfather, his predecessor, the person who established the Mughal Empire in India, Babur, he also built a Jal Mahal at this place. So you can understand that Fatehpur Sikri was having abundant water supply, and water supply means chance of a better life, because you had potable water, and water to live, water is life, right? So when Akbar decided to build this Fatehpur Sikri, he called it the city of victory, Fatehpur, and he called in astronomers, he called in architects to build the best of the best. And it did. It took them some 15 years to build this, and it's beautiful. You have so many things to see there today, even if it's all empty, but it is beautiful red sandstone, carved, well placed, and you have Mahals to see, you have the Rani's Palace, beautiful Jali work and everything. And it's obvious that it might have taken them 15 odd years. And then Akbar decided to move the entire court to Fatehpur Sikri. So everybody came here, him, his young sons, his favorite wives, his courtiers, his musician Tansen, they all came here, and life was going wonderfully. For 14 years they lived here. And his sons grew up, his empire was growing, it was good. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this land which had lots of water for centuries and was known for it, went dry. It almost happened overnight, in 2 weeks. Well, what had transpired? What had happened? Apparently, you have to go to legend to understand why that happened. Now it's up to you whether you believe in this or not. But here's exactly what happened. There was a dancing girl, she was a local, called Zarina, and she loved dancing and she was pretty good at it. So good that Akbar's revered musician Tansen himself went to her and asked her to dance in court. And she readily agreed. It was the best opportunity, right? You could dance in front of the king. Imagine the favors you would get. But that was not her motivation. Her motivation was to dance. But her father was a little reluctant to send his daughter to court. He clearly told her that yes, court life is glam, it's wonderful, it's rich, but under all this lies the vicious emotion of jealousy. Well, she said, jealousy won't touch me, I won't care about jealousy. And so she went to dance. And she was so good at it that she quickly became the favorite in court. She had a lot of influence and people loved watching her. Well, this didn't sit well with a few people, especially Jodhabai's servant Madhavi. Who was Jodhabai? Let me tell you that first. Jodhabai was Akbar's wife. She was from Rajasthan and she was also the mother of Salim, who was the heir. So she did wield a lot of influence in court. So did her servant Madhavi, because she was the servant to the queen and the future queen mother. Madhavi didn't like Zarina having so much of influence because of her dance, and so she devised a plan. When Zarina was dancing and everybody was raptured with her, Madhavi sneaked out, picked up Jodhabai's bangle and hid it in Zarina's closet in her room. And Jodhabai, when she returned, realized that her bangle was missing. She went frantic. She went to Akbar and told him, well, see what's happened, my bangle's gone. And if you're wondering what a bangle is what women wear, Indian women wear, those around their wrist. And so then there was a search for who has the bangle. And Madhavi pointed out to Zarina, saying that she has seen Zarina having the bangle. Now this was something that should have put up red signals. And then for Jodhabai, she should have asked Madhavi, how did you know if Zarina had it? But she didn't. And they searched Zarina's room and quarters and they found the bangle. This was a huge shock to the entire court. Nobody had believed Zarina to do that. And she could do that because she was dancing the previous night. But evidence it was. And so Akbar decided that Zarina had to be punished because such behavior was not appreciated in court, especially to steal the queen's jewelry. And Zarina's punishment was her two hands would be cut off. So if her hands were cut off, she couldn't dance anymore. And that was her lifeline. That was what she was so passionate about. Living without dance was impossible for her. The next day, Akbar asked her to be presented in court. It was the time for her punishment to be carried out. And the Sardar came back empty-handed. Zarina was nowhere to be found. Her father stepped forward and said that Zarina had been badly mistreated and misjudged. Akbar had judged her without looking at what would actually happen. Akbar had misjudged her and mistreated her very badly indeed. And her father was furious. He cursed the entire city of Fatehpur Sikri. He said that the city would go through such miserable times that they would be as miserable as Zarina had been for the last night, forever. This curse meant that Fatehpur Sikri dried up in 2 weeks. Staying here was impossible. People would starve and die of thirst. So they had to move the entire court back after 14 happy years back to where they'd come from. And Fatehpur Sikri is still dry. And the ghost of Madhavi, it's supposed to be roaming around Fatehpur Sikri, finding Zarina, so that she can apologize and break this curse. That is the story of Fatehpur Sikri. But today the monument still stands. It's pretty much as it was. It's a beautiful site for tourists to visit. But this was the really scary story of a ghost. And that is for Halloween, you could say. Not really, that was not my intention. But it was a very interesting history. not a history but legend. So that's about the stories of Fatehpur Sikri. Let us move on to the next segment, the quizzes. So the first question for the quiz is, in which area in France is the Chateau de Chambord located? I would like the name of the region that it's coming from. For example, Normandy, Provence, Bretagne, that way. And the second question, what's the name of the palace in London where Queen Victoria grew up? The palace. Hint, it's also the home of the Cambridges currently. The third question, what's the connection between the port of Belém in Portugal and India? Rather, India's history. The hint is that it was a port in Portugal. The fourth question, the French King Louis IX built which cathedral in Paris to house 22 holy relics that he had purchased? I will give you another hint. This is it's having beautiful stained glasses. And the fifth and the last question, who is designing the Rome of the Florence Cathedral? That was the quiz questions. I will put them up on social media as well. Next is the questions, the Q&As that I'll answer. And the question I found people asking is, how do you know if Queen's at Buckingham Palace? How do you know she's currently residing in Buckingham Palace or her other residences? One simple way to figure it out. You have to know. So if you notice, when you stand at the facade of Buckingham Palace, right above the entrance, the palace behind the entrance has a flag. You need to notice the flag. So if there's a royal standard which is flying, that means that the Queen is in residence. And when it is just the Union Jack, she is not in residence. And this applies not just to Buckingham Palace, but her other residences like Sandringham and Windsor Castle too. That's an excellent way to see the royal residences as well. So in summer, when she's not in London, when she's not in Buckingham Palace, you can visit Buckingham Palace. You can visit Windsor, I think, during the week, and her other estates as well. That was about the Q&A. It was pretty short, but I felt people didn't know. I get confused between the Royal Standard and the Union Jack, and when she's in town and when she's not. So that was the answer. It's clarified for me now as well. Then the last one, something new. This is about Agatha Christie. I think she's Dame Agatha Christie. And if you don't know who Agatha Christie is, you've probably heard about the Orient Express, the movie. That story has been written by her. She's a person who's created infamous, immortal characters like the detective Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple. And she has played a very major role in my reading repertoire, because I love crime and mystery. And of course, you have to read stories from the Queen of Crime Fiction novel. So Agatha Christie created this incredible character of the Belgian detective Hercule Poirot, and she has written a lot of books about him. And she wrote the last book, Curtain, Poirot's last case, somewhere after the Second World War. She wrote this case for her daughter, and she then put it in a vault for 30 years without publishing it, because it was to be published when she was dying. And in 1975, they finally published the work, and she died a year later. But in Curtain, Hercule Poirot breathes his last. He passes away. And it was such a huge shock to everybody that the New York Times actually had an obituary for this Belgian detective. And I think the obituary was on the first page of the New York Times. It made huge headlines. That's what the impact Hercule Poirot has had. He's 1975 and he keeps having it even today. I mean, in 2013, they had a series of the entire Poirot novels televised, and you have people from all generations reading Hercule Poirot and Agatha Christie's plenty of other books even today. That's her legacy, and that was something new I learned. I mean, imagine writing a book, keeping it in the world for 30 years and then publishing it. And the end. That was her second last novel to be published. The last novel posthumously published was The Sleeping Murder, which is my favorite novel actually, to do with Agatha Christie, and it stars Miss Jane Marple, not Poirot. So that was something new. I will see you next Friday with a new video where we'll explore another place, probably some museum or something else. I have a great week ahead. Have a great weekend. My exams are done, so I'm gonna have a party. I swear, I'm so happy. That's it for this week. I will see you next time. Follow Geekly Magazine on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Bye bye.